Hello, and welcome to our program, Texas Highways, August Issue, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Patty Martin, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from Texas Highways here on OWL Radio. Our first article is Drive, with the category of Ticket. Wild Wild Waxahachie. Filmmaker Taylor Sheridan returns for a Western on lawman Bass Reeves by Mary Beth Gahan, or Gahan. Rona Hedges and Pam Poovey step out of Eubank Florist and Gifts, where they work, and light cigarettes before taking part in some good old-fashioned rubbernecking. Across the street, in the middle of Waxahachie's historic square, commotion surrounds the Ellis County Historic Courthouse. Large lights on a crane, trucks with equipment, and dozens of people surround the structure. Completed in 1897 with 9 stories of red limestone, pink granite, and red sandstone, the courthouse is used to bring the main character in town. Excuse me, let me restate that. The courthouse is used to being the main character in town, but on this early morning in February, it's relegated to a background scene setter. And here's a little bit about the Ellis County Historic Courthouse. Excuse me. It's located at 101 West Main Street, Waxahachie. Phone number 972-825-5000. Website is co.ellis.tx.us. Tours are available to the public Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Waxahachie is in the midst of getting Taylor Sheridan treatment. The Texas native with roots in Cranfield's Gap in Fort Worth has an impressive resume as an actor in the FX series Sons of Anarchy, writer of the movies Sicario and Hell or High Water, and creator of the Paramount Plus series Yellowstone. Sheridan returned to North Texas. He shot the Yellowstone prequel 1883 in Cowtown for his latest production, Lawman Bass Reeves. The series follows the legendary lawman who was formerly enslaved in the late 19th century. Except for a stint in Paris, Reeves was actually a U.S. Marshal in Oklahoma and Arkansas. Many believe he was the inspiration for the fictional Lone Ranger character. We love that they're showcasing our history, even if it's not really our history, says Michelle Hay, executive director and curator of the Ellis County Museum. David Oilowo, and I know I'm saying that last name wrong, it's O-Y-E-L-O-W-R. David stars as Reeves, and the series features recurring roles from Donald Sutherland and native Texan Dennis Quaid. A few days before the courthouse shoot, Quaid's name was added to the cast list and word spread. That's why we're out here, Poovey says. Hedges adds, we ain't seen Dennis yet. Filming takes place over 2 days in a courtroom on the first floor. Nothing could be seen from Hedges and Poovey's vantage point. If anything, the equipment around the courthouse puts the historic structure on display to outsiders. Because when Hollywood comes to small town Texas, it often casts new light on old landmarks. Isn't she beautiful, Hedges says. Be sure to check out the faces. She's talking about the expressive carvings along the walls of the courthouse. Hedges isn't sure of the true story behind them, but as the legend goes, Harry Hurley, a stonemason from outside of town, was hired to carve designs into the courthouse's exterior, and in the process fell in love with Mabel Frame, the daughter of the woman who owned the house where he was staying. In some versions, the girl spurned his advances. In others, they had a nasty breakup. Either way, carvings of Frame's face wrap around the courthouse. They start serene, and as you walk around to the other side, they transform into a grimace. The carvings aren't just one chapter in the courthouse's book. A century ago, a prisoner was given a gun by his girlfriend, and a shootout occurred on the first floor. A bullet hole is still visible in the purchasing agent's office. And in 1934, the news of the deaths of Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow, the latter of whom was born in Ellis County, was the last public announcement proclaimed from the third floor balcony. Amy Borders, Waxahachie's Director of Communications and Marketing, started taking location scouts around town in the summer of 2022. She showed them the Rogers Hotel, rumored to have once housed Bonnie and Clyde, several houses and pieces of land. "Our crown jewel ended up being the thing they chose," Borders says. Ellis County is no stranger to filming. Tender Mercies was shot there 40 years ago, but production crews have been visiting even longer than that. Robert Benton, a Waxahachie native, wrote the script for the 1967 film Bonnie and Clyde, and several North Texas locations were used to set the scene. In one shot, Faye Dunaway leaned out of a window of her mother's house, a vacant two-story farmhouse on the northwest side of the county. Locals were intrigued by the Hollywood spectacle. From the October 12, 1966 edition of the Waxahachie Light, everybody in Midlothian who has a minute to spare rushes down to West Avenue F, where all the excitement is. Benton returned to the area in the early 80s for Places in the Heart, which earned Sally Fields an Oscar for Best Actress in 1984. But before that, she and other members of the cast spent 6 months in Ellis County. Borders was in elementary school at the time and remembers the actors becoming part of the community. Waxahachie was like the back lot of Texas, Borders says. There were more movies filmed here than anywhere else in Texas. Waxahachie is chosen for period pieces because of its well-preserved historic downtown, Hayes says. There are historic design guidelines about what materials can be used to repair buildings so they remain authentic. When the courthouse was completed in 1897, the wood used for the interior was old growth, longleaf southern pine. Because of deforestation and other human interference, that type of wood is no longer available. So during renovations in the 1990s, the county had to use wood taken from other buildings constructed during the late 19th century. "You can't replicate history like this on a set," Hayes says. "You can't get the same feel." While the interior courtroom scene was shot in Waxahachie, exterior scenes will be shot in Stephenville around the Erath County Courthouse. Buildings in Fort Worth will also be used, like when Sheridan's 1883 was filmed in and around the stockyards. In 2022, dirt was laid in the streets and modern-day signs were taken down. Hooker's Grill, a walk-up window burger joint, was turned into a gambling den. The owners have kept the facade, and visitors can now eat a burger on the porch or inside by entering around the back of the open-air building. In Strawn, west of Weatherford, the Bass Reeves production team has built an entire western town near Mary's Cafe, a place known for its chicken-fried steak. Locals have been eating there just to get a gander at what's going on down the street. And production members are spending their money at local businesses as they hop around North Texas. "They're putting Texans to work, and they're spending their money in Texas," Borders says. "That's so important." It's clear Sheridan is good business for Texas. In February, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick came away from a dinner with Sheridan saying, "My goal is for Taylor to move all of his TV and movie production to Texas." Location scouting. A collection of historical spots completes the big picture of Waxahachie. The Rogers Hotel, built in 1912, This supposedly haunted building sits where Emory W. Rogers, the city's founder, constructed his log cabin in 1847. Go to facebook.com/ Roger Schott ELTX. Oh, it's actually Rogers Hotel TX. The next location shooting is a Gingerbread Trail Tour of Homes. This ticketed summer tour of historic homes and other points of interest benefits the Ellis County Museum. Go to gingerbreadtrail.org for more information. And then the last, Farm Lux Soda Fountain and Dry Goods. The wood floors in the candy shop and penny tile in the restaurant are original to this late 19th century building. Go to farmluxsodafountain.com for more information. And next, we move on to ancient history. Oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. This is Drive in the category of Atlas. The title is Ancient Artistry. Texas Prehistoric Artwork is a Premier Archaeological Resource by Amanda Ogle. From the Rio Grande to the Panhandle, pictographs and petroglyphs from prehistoric artists are etched on remote cliffs and rock shelters, inside caves and along rivers, preserved for up to 5,000 years by private landowners and public institutions. They allow us to glimpse prehistory. To the modern eye, the art seems to depict Native Americans, spiritual figures, animals, and symbols. This is one of the most incredible archaeological resources in North America, says Harry Schaefer, curator of archaeology at San Antonio's Witte Museum. And lots of people don't even know about it. Over time, some of this rock art, especially pictographs, have been lost to flooding, erosion, and vandalism, but various sites are open for visitors to see stories of the distant past. Rock star Harry Schaefer is a curator of archaeology at San Antonio's Witte Museum, the conservation steward for the White Shaman Preserve rock art site along the Pecos River. What do scholars think this rock art represents? Most of them are narratives and origin stories. Most of the dominant figures are anthropomorphic figures that have antlers on the heads, or furry bodies, or cat ears. How long do you think these sites are going to be around for us to see? There are two or three major sites in the lower Pecos that are severely endangered by the rising waters of the Amistad Reservoir. But as long as places are publicly and privately protected and aren't being lost through natural weathering and inundation, they'll be here. How do we continue to protect these sites? The fact that most of these sites are on private property keeps them protected because you have to take a tour to see the sites. Restricting access protects them, but when you do that, you also restrict the appreciation and information the sites provide. Staying power. The four main colors used in pictographs were black, red, yellow, and white. To make the paint, artists used manganese for black, iron ochre for red, limonite for yellow, and either gypsum or kaolin for white. The paint was mixed with an organic binder, perhaps bone marrow, egg yolk, or plant juices. Yucca brushes and human hair were used to apply the paint. Writing on the walls, up-close looks at prehistoric art. Seminole Canyon State Park and Historic Site. On the U.S.-Mexico border in Comstock, this site bears more than 200 pictographs. Guided 90-minute tours are available at the Fate Bell site. Contact the park for a schedule. The phone number is 432-292-4464. Go to tpwd.texas.gov/state-parks www.seminole-canyon. Paint rock. See more than 1,500 pictographs that are over 1,000 years old on a 70-foot tall cliff near the Concho River, about 3 hours northwest of Austin. Schedule a Saturday morning guided tour, 325-732-4376. ThePaintedRocks.org is the website for more information. White Shaman Preserve. Near Seminole Canyon, the White Shaman mural illustrates the lives of hunter-gatherers who called Texas home thousands of years ago. Guided two-hour tours involve a 250-foot descent into a canyon and a steep trail with loose rocks. The phone number is 210-357-1910. Go to wittymuseum.org/white-shaman-preserve for more information. Amistad National Recreation Area, 20 minutes from Seminole Canyon. This recreation area has two rock art sites open to the public. Panther Cave contains floor-to-ceiling pictographs, and Parita Cave, while heavily looted in the late 1800s, contains materials like spear points. Call the park before making the trip, 830-775-7491. For more information, go to nps.gov/AMIS/learn/history-culture/how-to-rock-art. The next site is Hueco Tank State Park and Historic Site. More than 3,000 pictographs and petroglyphs representing deities, animals, dancing figures, and humans in European clothing are found at Hueco Tanks, 45 minutes northeast of El Paso. Make a reservation for a self-guided exploration by calling 512-389-8911 or call 915-849-6684 to book a guided tour. For more information, go to tpwd.texas.gov/state-parks/Hueco-tanks, and that is spelled Hueco-tanks. And then the last site is Shumla Treks. As part of the Shumla Archaeological Research and Education Center, Shumla Treks leads rock art tours through the Lower Pecos at various sites. Register online for trek dates, hiking sticks, long pants, hats, gloves, and long sleeve shirts are recommended. For more information, go to Shumla, which is shumla.org/Shumla Treks, Shumlatreks. Leave no trace. Tips for respectfully and safely traveling to rock art sites. Do not touch rock art or add your own markings. Bring a camera, sunscreen, and plenty of water. Many sites are in the desert, so dress appropriately. Wear walking boots that won't slip on rocks. Plan a scheduled tour or call ahead before you go. And finally, 80 is the number of Texas rock art sites found from 1934 to 1942. 350 is the number of recorded pictograph sites in Texas. 97% of sites in Texas are on private land. And then our last article is Getaway, Comstock. Way out west, peace and quiet abound along the Lower Pecos River. If not for the lone, blinking yellow traffic light on US 90 just northwest of Del Rio, it'd be easy to miss the dusty little town of Comstock. The area is home to the oldest rock art in North America, making archaeologists the majority of the population. The many limestone canyons that branch off from the Pecos and Rio Grande rivers conceal rock shelters with pictographs more than 6,000 years old. Seminole Canyon State Park and Historic Site is Comstock's best-known rock art destination, but there are over 325 documented sites nearby. History enthusiasts will enjoy touring them, but anyone can appreciate the area's natural beauty and rugged charm. Gas up before heading further west to other towns like Langtree, the home of legendary lawman Judge Roy Bean, as there aren't any fuel stops along the way. There certainly isn't anything in Pandale, which makes Terlingua look like Dallas. The hamlet is an hour north of Langtree up a caliche road past a small river crossing. There was once a post office and a school, but little remains except for a few cabins. It's a blissfully remote place to sit by the river, ponder our state's history, and enjoy the solitude. And this article is titled Way Out West, Peace and Quiet Abound Along the Lower Pecos River by Scott Dubois. Comstock is 3 hours from San Antonio, 4.5 hours from Austin, 6 hours from Houston, and 6.5 hours from Dallas. Here are some places to stay, eat, see, drink, and shop. Our first place is Pandale Crossing River Resort. There isn't a pool or trash service, but what this resort lacks in amenities, it makes up for with the greatest of luxuries, space. This collection of cabins, which starts at $115 a night, has a private Pecos Riverfront location and an incredible view of the Milky Way. The resort also rents kayaks and can arrange hikes on a nearby ranch. White Shaman Preserve. San Antonio's Woody Museum operates the preserve that protects one of the most spectacular rock art sites in the Lower Pecos. The White Shaman mural, depicting a creation story, measures 26 feet long and is over 3,000 years old. Tours happen every Saturday morning and reservations can be made online. Amistad National Recreation Area. Lake Amistad is a massive reservoir near the confluence of the Pecos, Devils, and Rio Grande Rivers. While lake levels are currently near historic lows, the rocky shoreline at Governor's Landing still has cool, clear blue water. There are also campgrounds, fishing guides, and fuel available nearby. The J&P Bar and Grill. This may be the lone restaurant to speak of in the area, but that's not the only reason to visit. Though it serves everything from Tex-Mex to chicken fried steaks, J&P is most famous for its burgers ground in-house and served on deliciously soft challah buns. It makes for the perfect post-hike meal. Judge Roy Bean Visitor Center. After the Civil War, Judge Roy Bean was a justice of the peace in Langtree. His offbeat brand of justice and revelry is the stuff of legend. He once staged a world championship boxing match on the Rio Grande. The center preserves his original saloon and has a travel information center and impressive xeriscape garden. Shumla Archaeological Research and Education Center. This nonprofit protects and preserves the rock art of the Lower Pecos. Call in advance to see their work, but the best way to experience it is in the field through Shumla Treks. These are regular hikes guided by archaeologists to rock shelters at state parks and on private land. Pecos High Bridge. The Pecos River Gorge near the confluence of the Rio Grande is spanned by the tallest highway bridge in Texas at nearly 323 feet. Built in 1892, it was once considered the third tallest bridge in the world. Just before you cross the river on the east bank, you'll find a vintage picnic site with a panoramic view of the Pecos. Seminole Canyon State Park and Historic Site. Seminole Canyon is a hidden gem among Texas state parks. It's known for the massive Fate Bell Rock Art Shelter, but the scenic Canyon Rim Trail offers stunning views of Seminole Canyon and the Rio Grande River. Tours of the rock shelter are offered Wednesday through Sunday. Rock Art Rendezvous. The Whitty Museum offers private guided tours of various area sites throughout the fall, from shelters in the state park and preserve to hard-to-access places like Myers Springs and Bonfire Shelter. The museum's website lists specific dates available for registration. Annually, the museum opens the White Shaman Preserve for a weekend of camping, music, barbecue, educational demonstrations, and tours of some of Texas' best rock art sites. Participants can choose from different locations to visit during the event. WhittyMuseum.org/White-Shaman-Preserve. The Desert Vista Camping Area at Seminole Canyon State Park is located atop a small hill with panoramic views of the surrounding sagebrush and Sotal scrubland. It has 23 sites with electric and water hookups. Call 432-292-4464 or go to tpwd.texas.gov/state-parks/Seminole-Canyon. You have been listening to Texas Highways, August issue on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Patty Martin saying goodbye from Owl Radio.